we go.
Let me test it one more time. Test 1, 2, testing. 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2. Now we can tape record the skirt. You'll see.
You're not gonna get that.
We'll get a good tape of this haircut.
No, I'll tell you, no.
Something that's nothing to do, because I never was a big guy in any union. I only was in a small union.
No, but see, that's the kind of thing that library wants to keep track of. And plus, my grandchildren would probably like to read this.
Oh, below me.
They would.
No. You know what, most of my children, they don't even give a damn that I was in the union or anything.
You got a son who follows you in the business.
Huh?
You got a son who follows you in the business.
He's in the business. Yeah, I know he's in the business that I was in, but he isn't in the union.
Well, everybody's different though, you know, like, look at me and Tommy. Or look at me and my dad, you know? I mean, each person in the family's just, you know, some people get into union stuff and some don't. And, you know, I'm into politics. I like politics.
You look what?
I like politics, but Tommy doesn't. You know, each person in the family, you know, likes different things. There's some loose... Right around your paws is a real dangerous place, but down here is safe. Yeah, you can work down here. Because there's some loose things. So what if only one great-great-grandchild read it? And because he read it, led a better life. Would that be worth it? I mean, what I got in mind is I already bought the tapes. And after you transcribe them, you can use them again for tape recording rock and roll. You know, so it's not like the money's thrown away. And also, they didn't cost very much. You know, so they cost a dollar for three of them.
Well, this one are you after of his life, because he started with the union and then worked through the union and finished
well.
No,
what I'm interested in is from the beginning, you know, from 6 or 7 years old. You know, like, wasn't with the union when he was 6 or 7, I know. But, no, I mean, while we're at it, we should start back then and then, you know, work up until the Pittsburgh and all that stuff went on. But,
when he had to get out of Pittsburgh,
because
he wouldn't give me
yeah.
a job,
because
he's trying to start a union.
Yeah, they wouldn't give me any in the high. I was going to be down there a couple of weeks, and I just didn't have no job again.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's not that hard to edit these tapes, you know, too. I mean, like, what you do is, eventually you get someone who's good at it with a machine.
They would want to know what companies you worked for in these different places. It wouldn't keep you on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the names of those places.
Yeah.
I forgot the names of the places as soon as I got out of there. I didn't want anything to do with
it. But see, it's a different sort of history though. It's you know, it's kind of like all these history books, all we ever read about is George Washington and Abe Lincoln, you know, and Teddy Roosevelt. But there are a lot of people who are interested in knowing what it was like for a guy with a small union back in the 30s and what he went through. And they don't care about the name of the company. As long as you're not lying about it, they don't care if, you know, you don't know the date. It was about...
Why don't you go back to my dad, then?
Why your dad? He was a brewery man. He wasn't an electrician.
Huh?
Your dad was a brewery man. He wasn't an electrician.
Well, he was a union man, though.
Well,
your dad was a union man?
A brewery.
Yeah, so. I would say so.
For a brewery.
Where'd he work?
Pittsburgh.
I didn't even know they had union activity back when he was.
You didn't think they had, huh?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if my father ever belonged to any union. So I don't know where union is in character in more than a guy doesn't.
Your dad, they had a union later on after we were up here. I think they had a union. No,
they had it before that. My dad was retired then.
Huh?
My dad was retired.
They had a union in the United States. That was a point of view.
What did your dad do?
He worked for Duquesne Light Company in Pittsburgh. He was a machinist.
Uh-huh.
For Duquesne Light Company in Pittsburgh.
All his life?
No, he'd worked for car company first, and then here, the car company where he was working, they just caught him plugging in the juice if they weren't paying for it. And then one day when my father was working, and he let them in, and they checked the meters and stuff and found out that it was illegally being used, so the people that let him in there, they gave him a job for the rest of his life. He worked for Duquesne Light.
Hmm.
He was working like an assembly or something. He was around there to inspect.
Would that, where your dad had
where he was working.
Oh, they were using electric?
They used electricity, and that somehow or other they followed up the thing that they were illegally, they must have put in their own wires or something like that.
It's going on today. They had a thing on TV on 60 Minutes about people doing that a lot and getting caught and getting in a lot of trouble. And they were talking about firms that were stealing, you know, $140,000 a month worth of electricity.
They found people working in big shops on the welfare, and they were working for some of the biggest concerns, collecting welfare.
I was tempted in law school to major in welfare law and find out how to do that, so I could do it myself.
I thought you'd be the one to be caught.
Yeah.
You're a pretty good dog today, you know. You are. I was expecting you to be just having a kid. I was.
Once she gets the message that she's going to be here with us.
She's not going to be hurt.
Yeah.
As long as you don't hurt her much. I like that occasionally hit stepdaughter. You know, well, then she falls.
Yeah.
So.
That's why you got to be real careful cutting her so you don't get her scared.
Especially around the feet. You know, and it might be get up and you don't see her there. And she's got a stepdaughter.
Boy, around these, right below the ears for me.
A lot of trouble with her ears,
your mother says. She's got to cut a little bit off at a time. Work your way in. That big matted thing right under her ears.
Yeah, and that's what makes me think she must be very miserable with this real hot weather.
Yeah.
That's mat that's on her. It'd be like a fur coat.
Lou says she couldn't again stand straight.
Yeah,
she's
not even that nervous, really.
You should see her sometimes when she lays on the floor. But she's like shaking like a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Not the moment if she's in trouble.
Well,
but
she...
sometimes she just shakes like a leaf when she's laying on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, dogs... Dogs don't sweat, so they cool themselves by breathing fast.
Yeah.
Well, if they sweat, they'd really smell.
Mm.
Somehow, though, that fast breathing cools them off the way sweating cools us off. I'm not sure how it works. Yeah, no, that's how they cool themselves off, like air conditioning. Somehow. Boy.
Heck, if I had known to do the barber, I wouldn't have paid $5 to get the haircut today.
We cut it for you.
So, your dad was a union man too?
Yeah.
That's what I don't know. I'm not sure he was.
you never knew him, Mom.
What do you mean?
She was talking about her dad.
I know my dad.
I think she is referring to her dad.
I was thinking we're talking about mine.
Oh, your dad.
So what did your dad do for a living, Grandpa?
What did my dad do?
Yeah.
Well, when I knew him, he was a driver's boss in the beer factory.
He drove a truck?
Yeah, sure.
Or did he drive a...
He didn't drive himself. He was the boss of the drivers.
Did they drive trucks or did they drive...
Trucks.
Trucks?
You didn't have any trucks when my dad...
That's what I was going to ask, so I didn't want to...
You didn't have no trucks at that.
I was trying to ask that question kind of carefully.
Wagon.
The only one neighbor in our neighborhood that was supposed to
and
have
didn't,
a car.
And they didn't... And they didn't take the barrels of beer down this little slide or anything like that either. They turned around and picked them up and carried them off the wagon. My dad was a small guy, but boy, he was heavy when it come to doing anything like that. There was one thing I never could understand. They can brought them empty back.
See your ears, Carl.
And they had them stacked up, see?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, as high as that the garage is there. And the way, you know how they stacked them up? They just throw them off the trucks under there. The empty, see?
Uh-huh.
And they stayed there.
They threw them and they...
piled right up on the pile.
Kind of like shooting basketball.
I used to like to watch them drivers come in with their empties and the way they throw them up there.
Did he came here from Germany?
Mm.
Your dad came here from Germany or?
My dad came from Germany, yeah, but I don't know just how old he was. I think he was 12, 13 years old or something.
Oh, I see.
How do you know? If I didn't know.
Well,
she goes by whatever Vi says. I can do a lot of things Vi made up.
Well, so he would have been, if he was in his teens, let's see, how old was he when you were born then?
97, 50, I think he was.
He was 56 when you were born?
Huh?
He was 56 when you were born?
I say he was in 50.
In his 50s?
He was born in 56.
Oh, he was born in 56.
Yeah, I was born in 97.
So he would have come here just after the Civil War, about 1869. He would have come here during Reconstruction, I guess, or whatever they call it.
Dad was married and had children in the 80s already. My sister was born in 1980, the one that just died.
1880, yeah. So he probably came here in about 1869 or something. Somewhere around there. 1870. So how heavy was he into union business? He just joined, or was he active as a leader?
He was the leader of the union in that particular place.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the boss man. But he didn't drive himself, he drove one of the men was there or anything like that. And then they had a wagon there for one horse. If they needed anything special, I could take that out.
Did you ever own a horse and buggy yourself, or did... By the time you grew up old enough to drive, did you have a car, or did you just have nothing, or did you have a horse and buggy?
No, I didn't drive a car until I came up here to Michigan.
Uh-huh.
My sister's husband had a car there down there in Pittsburgh. My husband had the car.
In
Pittsburgh,
cars
yeah.
Around us at all at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't bother getting a car.
Now, we were the first one after we left your friends at school.
Yeah.
Did he give you that first car?
No, I bought the first car. But then I got another one after that.
After that.
Yeah.
Because he had never learned to drive. He didn't learn to drive at all when he came here to Michigan.
So how'd you take Grandma out for dates then? If you didn't have a car?
What?
Buses run all the way into Harvard.
Oh, you met in Pittsburgh though, didn't you?
But when
yeah,
we were,
with him
he
and
says
German
when
Mama,
we made
dates,
that
trip.
Was in Pittsburgh. We walked.
Yeah. Down there, you had streetcars in
Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh. We could go anywhere we wanted to go on a streetcar.
But she lived in one part of the town.
Yeah, I lived in
she lived down in the Irish neighborhood, and I lived up in the German neighborhood. When we were married, we moved up in the German neighborhood. She couldn't understand what anybody said.
For a person, they lived up there, the women would come along, and I'd be wiping the steps down or something, come along and talk German to me, and all I could do was say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you met at a party, huh?
We met at a party.
We met at a party in the German neighborhood. Yeah, Ray Meyer knew that one fellow, didn't he?
I don't know how we come to be invited up there from Norway.
Yeah, there was one of the...
Somebody was invited down in our area.
Yeah, he was working. He was working with that one fellow from down there in your neck of the woods.
So then at that party you asked her for a date?
No.
Or you just kind of walked her home?
Party.
You asked her for a date?
Did I take you home that night, huh?
Uh-oh.
That's, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 61.
61 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you probably met 62 years ago.
No, 61.
Well, you've been married 61 years in August.
Well, we were married, yeah.
Didn't take long, huh?
About 2 years ago.
You were pretty young when you met, though, like 17 or something?
I was married at 19, he was 20.
But you had known it?
Huh? You were 19, he was 20?
19. I was married in August and met in November, I was 19.
So you were 18 when you got married?
In October, the same. This was just 1 year old.
We just decided to get married and
took off.
And hell with
my mother, she jumped all over me. She's
because you're going to get married in the church. So about 6 weeks later, we were married in Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah?
My mother couldn't see that idea. You know, we just ran away and was married. I heard about somebody else was working with me, you know, and I wasn't in any yet.
We was...
Bookbinders. And somebody else, one of the others there.
We was married during the... First World War.
He was married in West Virginia.
Yeah. 1917.
Well, Doggy, you're being a pretty good guy. I'd say you're being a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get into the daggone thing. I tried to.
How come you couldn't get in?
Huh? I was working in the optical. And
they needed it.
They needed it, see?
Yeah.
But unless they wouldn't put us in.
But you tried.
I think you would have been in with another month or two, though, after we
Our prepared. Foreman, you know, he quit the job and in the place down there and went into the service, see?
Mm-hmm.
And he was only in the service about a month and a half, and they brought him back.
Hmm.
They told him he had no damn business because they had, you know, they weren't taking the guys out of the optical.
Uh-huh.
Because we were making prisms for periscopes.
Oh.
You know, they had just came out of the with that business of the things in the water.
The submarine.
Submarines. They just came out with them, and then they were using periscopes in the trenches. See?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that.
That was a darn good idea.
They didn't have to
stick their head up.
Stick your head up to see anything. They had the periscopes up there.
Yeah. So. Plus, they could see farther with a periscope.
And, we were kind of mad about it because we worked for regular pay, and I had a boyfriend that worked in one of the Westcom places. He worked for one of the Westinghouse. You know, they were making guns and everything imaginable in them places. And he worked there, and he was making as high as $20 a day. And we were working for about 21 or something like that a week. But they wouldn't let us go.
Hmm.
We couldn't take a job like that, and we couldn't do nothing. We were just, in other words, we were in service.
Yeah.
See?
It was part of the war effort.
You were in service on that point
uh-huh.
but not in the military point. See?
Yeah.
I tried to get in. They asked me what I did. I told them, you can't get in there.
Did you lose some friends in that war?
Oh.
Did you lose some friends in World War One?
Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fellows. I had been in the... what they state troopers.
National Guard or something? Or state?
Yeah, the Guards, yeah.
State militia?
Yeah, in the Guards in Pennsylvania Guards. I was in there, see.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, all of them boys went into the service, see, but I couldn't get in there, see. They wouldn't take me that way. They discharged me from service right away, see. On the state, see, because that they went in as a whole, see, just the way they were made up. They went in; the whole business went in.
The whole unit.
Yeah,
got
the whole
drafted.
Unit went in,
yeah,
see? But I couldn't go with them. See? But that unit, I think it was about 3-4 fellows come back.
And that's all.
That's all.
Hmm.
They got in the fighting right away, you know, in the real fighting.
What What made you want to go in so bad?
Well, what the heck? I was... there was nothing for me to... not to want to go in.
Did you want to go in because everybody else... Sorry.
I was in the guards, see? I had been in the guards for 2 years. Because I got in there when I was 16.
Yeah, but, I mean, did you, like, did you feel strongly about us winning the war? Is that why you wanted to go in, or did you feel like you had an obligation because everybody else was going, or did you...
Well, most all young fellas thought they were having that...
obligation.
The obligation to go in, see?
Yeah.
And most of them did. As I said, our fellow that was a foreman in our shop there, he was only a few years older than me, and he went in, but they wouldn't
take him.
They wouldn't let him stay in.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how things last a week or two for Joe down there, and him with that Panama business being the way it was.
Why, what's going on now?
Down there, you know, they had quite a lot of disturbance when
when the boat was
president won? Went down there.
Oh, I know.
And I wondered if he was called in, as he's a guard, I was wondering if her husband was called in to be around there.
Yeah. I called her up.
None of us has heard from her. We wondered just what the situation was during this, for them being so close to that.
I called her up from Iowa on the night before that boat was taken on the treaty. Because there were riots in Panama City that night. That's where she lived. She was home alone in a house.
Oh.
In a Panamanian neighborhood, no less. She wasn't worried, though. She said...
She wasn't scared?
No, that was a lot of publicity from the press because she said that that was just a bunch of students down demonstrating and breaking a few windows. You know. She said it was no big thing.
Him going in there and the way they felt about him because it showed all kinds of signs, you know, get out of here, go home and all that.
Yeah.
Business, you know, against him.
But, you know, that's just a few... Joan says, anyway, that that's just a few students doing that. That's not, it's nothing serious, like... nothing to worry about.
Have we changed the subject in
the paper? It don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It won't hurt.
Think,
I can edit it. I
wonder if I heard anything.
You know, you can call her for $1.10 a minute. For $3. For $3 we could call her. But that's expensive too. But I called her on her birthday too.
Oh.
See, I got a big phone bill. I don't know. I meant to send her a birthday card and then I put it off and put it off.
Well, I sent her the birthday card and returned the check to her that I sent her for Christmas if she kept too long and didn't get the cash.
Oh.
So I made her.
Did you ever get that back?
No. And I warned her on and I said, Joni, please, we're going to say cash this before it goes beyond the day.
Yeah. Well, weren't you scared about getting killed, though, in the war? Or?
Oh,
you must have been scared about getting
nobody
killed.
Nobody ever thought of you. You wasn't thinking about getting killed or anything like that. I was pretty lucky after the war was over.
Especially when you saw that unit come back with only four guys.
Yeah, sure, the unit didn't. There was, I think, three men in the back. The one guy was so badly he had been shot through the legs, and his legs were hard for him to use his legs. And, He was in pretty bad shape. I think he died in about 8 years after the war.
How about you hold that ear up and I'll cut under here. Yeah. But that was after you were married, or that was before you were married? Listen, you got married in 17, but...
I got married 17.
You pretty much... You knew that you wouldn't go in the army before you got married.
I knew I wouldn't go in the army. That's one of the reasons why we got married.
Yeah.
There was no chance of me going anywhere.
Well, you must have had your pick of the crop there with all those guys over in Europe.
Huh?
I said you must have had a field day with all those guys over in the Army, and you being back here with all the women.
There was enough young fellas running around. I don't think there was. Now, my buddy never went into the service. He just worked in there and got $20 a day for working. And I think we were making $18 a week or something like that. And we couldn't get our wages raised or anything else. Yeah.
I think around her ears, I'll cut it as low as I can get it today and then wait a couple of days and cut it again. So you had known Grandma like a couple of years before you got married, or not that long?
Might have been 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember when. I was down in Cumberland, Maryland, right before I was married with my working down there.
Cumberland, you were in Maryland?
Huh?
You were in Maryland? Did you say you were in Maryland? Cumberland, Maryland, or what did you say?
Cumberland, Maryland.
But your parents lived in Pittsburgh there.
Yeah. Well, my parents weren't living. My mother was living, but nobody was.
Oh, your dad died? How old was he when he died?
How old was I?
How old was your dad when he died?
Dad was, I think, 56 when he died.
Well, I thought he was 56 when you were born.
Not when I was born.
No. Oh, okay.
No, I think Dad was, I think that in 50-something Dad was born. But my mother was born in 61.
He was born in 1856. Okay, I got that.
I think he was born in 1856.
Uh-huh. In Germany.
But Dad died in 1913.
Did they live by the Thuner Sea over there? Or
I mean in 1910 Dad died.
1910.
Yeah, I was only 13 years old.
Oh. So you never knew him that well. Or did you?
Huh?
Did you know him very well before he died, or?
Well, a 13-year-old fellow would know him pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I knew my dad very well. Did you work with him?
I must have been only about 9, 10, maybe a little bit better than that.
Was there a lot of fighting in your neighborhood when you were a kid?
If you couldn't fight in the neighborhood when I was a kid, you didn't live in the neighborhood.
Boy. Pretty rough fighting too? I mean, people...
It was a rough neighborhood. And it got rougher as I got older. When we were married, that was even a rougher neighborhood.
Okay. It was even rougher after you got married?
Huh?
But, after you got to be 20, you didn't get in fights after that, right? Just the kids fought.
Well, we didn't get in fights, but
the kids
sometimes you had to put up a good shoulder, but you didn't get in the fight.
Oh, yeah.
So I say that it was tougher then than it was when one was a kid. But there was a rough bunch got into one section there.
A gang, like, kind of a gang?
Well, they had a
sort of a club.
Coco, lay down. Just roll over.
And as you walk the pastor, it was about a 2 or 3 blocks away from where we were. And as you walk the pastor, you're liable to get shocked or something. So you had to still be able to shock somebody back when they did.
But if you got the whole club, then you might as well forget socking them back.
Well,
if you got the whole club,
it didn't need to be the whole club. But they guys, just one guy would be around there, and they might throw something at you or something like that. So you had to be able to be ready to fight if you wanted to. All in neighborhoods feel that way. It's like a step. I wouldn't say bad guys are like breaking into somebody's place or anything like that. They were very, very seldom heard of anything like that. They were all right guys as far as that was concerned. Sometimes you could walk up past them and they'd say hello to you. Sometimes
they just want to fight.
They just wanted to fight.
Yeah, I run into those kind of people in bars sometimes. You know. Grown up. They're grown up and everything, and they still like to fight.
And of course, I was tall.
Yeah. How tall were you?
I was the most when I was. I'm only 5'4" now. I might be, not even be 5'4" now. I'm shrunk now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how tall were you?
Than I used to be.
Yeah, I think the tissue between the bones shrinks as you get older.
Does it?
Did you want to sit down on a chair? Or?
When I went to get in the regular army, see, I went to. And the guy told me I couldn't, I couldn't make it. I wasn't tall enough, see. And so I got on the scale, and he says, you've got to be 4'5". And I said, 4'5"? I can't be 4'5".
You mean 5'4"?
Huh? 5'4".
Uh-huh.
He says, you got to be 4'5". He says, can you stretch yourself a little bit? So I stretched myself. I got in, but that didn't do any good because it wouldn't let us do anything.
Yeah, but you at least got into the guard, huh? The National Guard. So after you married Grandma, you eloped where, to Virginia or someplace?
Did I what?
You eloped with Grandma to Virginia?
Yeah.
And then you came back, then you went back to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, to live? Sure. That's right.
I got it. I'm sorry. Now she will be here. I think it just pulled. I don't think I got skin.
You pinched it, maybe.
Yeah. I think it just pulled on it. It's real tender on it. Right about here. And I think I just pulled it. Sometimes I think when the scissors come together, they pull a hair, pull the hair out. Well, still. Maybe I won't get this quite as short as
that. He's got a spot on there somewhere that he's very touchy, even when you touch it.
Yeah. It gets real matted on her chest. So you went back and settled in Pittsburgh then, huh?
Yeah.
You went back to Pittsburgh and settled down after you were first married?
In Pittsburgh in 1928.
Were you living with your parents, or did you get your own place right away, or?
No, we lived, Yeah, we were in with my birth parents for a little while, and then we got a place right away for ourselves.
Uh-huh. They weren't real thrilled about it, though.
Huh?
They weren't real thrilled about it, huh?
Oh, the only thing that the whole family was bad about is he couldn't have a big shindig.
Oh, you wanted something fancy.
He was one of them Irish that liked to celebrate.
Yeah. I think this is short enough in here.
She lived right in an Irish town.
She just lays in
Irish town. It was all Irish in that section. Well, it was in Pittsburgh too, but it was all Irish.
I don't want to get
the baby. Give her a bath today?
Yeah. So you went straight into the optical business? Is that the first thing you ever got into? Was optical work or?
Yeah, I was in the optical work factory all my life. That was the first real job I had.
How'd you get into that?
A doctor knew somebody over in there. My mother was working for the doctor, and he got me a job as messenger over there. And they had surveying instruments. You might have seen BKLA Company in Michigan here, in Detroit.
I think so.
They sell surveying instruments and all that kind of stuff. And that's the department that I went with as a messenger.
Uh-huh.
I got $4 a week, and it was, and I was only making $2.50 a week in the other job that I had. I just had been working in one of the stores down there. So, and I got $2.50 a week, and then I got $4 over there when I, and that was quite a bit, you know, another $1.50 a week. So
yeah.
Keep going. And I stayed right there, and then I had a lot of time to myself. In other words, maybe I took a job out today, carried the. The instruments, sometimes I didn't have, you know, I didn't have anything to carry, so. And I loafed in the optical shop.
Cool.
They had a small little space there, and I used to sit there and talk to the guy that was the foreman there.
Go on a break?
Yeah.
And he said to me, he says, I'm not going to let you sit around here and not do anything, see? And I says, what do you mean, then, sitting around not doing anything? I says, I'm doing my work.
Uh-huh.
He says, he says, you're going to help me. So he showed me how to lay out work, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know, Johnny, he says, I can't get any of these guys. He says, they ain't got brains enough to do that, see? So he says, well, see how brainy you are. I says, I ain't brainy at all. I says, and I give him an argument, honestly. But then he sit me down and showed me how to lay out work and all that kind of stuff. And then when he went into the service, I took his job. Although there was other fellows in that place that had been in there for maybe 10, 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And I took his job when he went into the service. See, of course, when he come back, he had his job back again. But when,
he trained you, and then he went in the service, and you got his job, and then
I went right from there into the shop there, and I And they didn't have anybody in there that could lay out the work, see. And anybody that could lay out the work was really the foreman of the shop, see. He worked the same as anybody else did. You did grinding and anything like that too. So.
Uh-huh.
But you were the anything went wrong, you were the one that got hell for it.
See. Uh-huh.
And of course I got a $6, I got up to $6 so when I first got it in there, but then I got more money up to afterwards, see.
Uh-huh.
But it was a tough job to learn, because you had all the figures and stuff like that, and then you had to know what came in, you had to read the prescription.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the doctors, when they send you a prescription, they can't read it. You had to call them up and want to know what the hell they had found.
Mm-hmm.
It went along like that.
So you worked for them for 13 years until
13 years, yeah. I had quit them once and was gone in that 13 years. I had quit them once and went down to Maryland. See?
Uh-huh.
And then I came back from Maryland. I went back to work. I went to work for another company. And I worked for another company for a little while, but then I went right back to Elliott's. They still needed a man that could lay out work.
Yeah.
Besides the bills.
It was called Elliott's.
Huh?
Elliott's?
B.K. Elliott.
B.K. Elliott. Mm-hmm. So John was born in 1925 then, wasn't he?
Oh.
John was born less.
He was born in 26.
26?
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
No. New York.
In New York?
Yeah. I was on that game then already, but I didn't have any job.
Let's see. Is he the oldest? Les is the oldest? Or
Les is the youngest.
Les is the youngest.
Your mother was born.
Oh, she was born in 1920 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And so was Dolly born in Pittsburgh.
In 22?
In 22.
And then Les was born in 26 in New York.
Yeah, in New York. Yeah.
Well,
how I come to go to New York, I don't know. I just...
New York City?
No, in Albany.
Oh.
The capital.
Let's see. You started working, though, about 1917 in that optical business. Was that after you got married or before you got married?
Oh, I was working there before that,
though. Oh, okay.
I was working there already in 1913 or something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, how did that union business get started then at Elliott's in Pittsburgh?
Oh, it was just one of them things. We didn't start it. People that, the jewelers started the business.
Who did?
Jewelers.
Oh, the jewelers started
yeah.
it. And who got blackballed?
They blackballed me after the that, but I can't tell you what year that was.
Yeah, you know, that's not too important. But
I can't figure it.
How did you get involved to the point where you got blackballed? You first the jeweler started unionizing, and then you got involved, or?
Well, they started the union, and they wanted us to go. You know, we would have been a part of them. And they said that if they couldn't win, they would back anybody that got with one of the companies to do anything. See?
Well, the company did, the three fellows that were once called, we had got fired officers, got fired from the main office.
From the jeweler section.
And the jewelers did not do a damn thing.
Oh, I see.
That's what they, in other words, the jewelers had a vote on that, and they just took a vote not to do anything about it. Because they didn't want to strike.
Yeah.
That's what they would have had to do, strike. So without anybody striking,
they didn't
vote.
Yeah. So
the
you
fellows down in that particular shop would have struck. There was no question on that part of it. But why strike to get them guys to strike when we had no backing? That was foolish.
Yeah. So you and two other guys got fired?
Yes.
The three of you?
Three of us. Uh-huh. I don't know what the other guys names were.
Yeah.
They were from other shops.
But the three of you were the ones that were trying to get everybody to sign up and join the union and stuff and get us. The three of you were the ones that were trying to get everybody signed up and joined.
No. The jewelers got it started.
The jewelers got it started, and then you guys got stuck with it.
A whole gang of us who joined it, see? But the thing boiled down to the point, we didn't have a thing to stand on unless these jewelers would back us.
Yeah.
So they didn't back us, so we couldn't strike, and we were out of jail.
But they just fired three of you, huh?
Yeah, just three of us. Three fellows were officers. And the ones of the other two fellows, I didn't have much personal contact with them because I didn't know them very well at all. I knew their names in them days, but I
yeah.
couldn't tell them what they were.
Well, what was your title then at that point?
I was president.
You're the president.
That is, I was in... nominated as a president.
You didn't get the union off the ground to the point where you had
an
actual
president.
We didn't
get the union office at all, no.
Yeah.
I was nominated as president. One was nominated as vice president, and the other guy was nominated as the secretary of treasury.
Uh-huh.
That was what the three fellows were. It was mixed. But, our company that I was with, they were the pushers of the, they were one of the biggest companies, the bunch, and they told the other companies that they would, if there was any strike or anything like that, that they would back it. So. But our company didn't, our jewelers didn't do any good for us.
Yeah, they kind of left you hanging. They left you holding the bag.
Well, they left us holding the bag, sure. And then our own boys, they would have stuck, but as I say, it was a time that when times were kind of tough and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the guys couldn't be out of work very long because you didn't have anybody to back.
Did any of that get in the newspaper?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh. So then when you tried to find other work in Pittsburgh, you couldn't find any. They wouldn't hire you.
They wouldn't hire me anywhere.
Not just Pittsburgh, but New York and...
Well, No, I was up in New York before that.
I see. You left there and went to New York and then came back and then the union.
I came back. I was working for them.
Oh. Well, what year, do you remember about what year it was that that you got canned there from Elliott? Was John born yet? Was Les born?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
So it was after 26?
No, Les wasn't born.
Okay.
It was before he was born, or whatever.
Dorothy was born, so it was between 22 and 26.
Yeah, 26.
Uh-huh.
Because I was out of work for about, maybe a year or so.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't get any work. I worked a year as a streetcar man, see.
You want to go out tonight? We can get Ruth to, Dorothy over there or something. Okay. I'll plan on it. Okay. Thanks for the help. What was that about a streetcar?
Hmm.
What was this about a streetcar? Somebody was
I worked on a streetcar for probably a year.
After you got canned from the Elliot.
Yeah. I think Dorothy. I know that Ruth was born when I worked on a streetcar. I think it was Dorothy was. So I wouldn't say sure exactly what date that was.
Yeah, but it was definitely between 1920 and 1927. Or
yeah.
26.
Yeah. Okay. I come up here in 28, see? And,
I'll be flat.
I went up to New York in 20. I was up in New York in 26.
Uh huh.
How
long were you?
Went back there again. And, that was after I got out of the English club. So it had to be just about, I guess Ruth must have been born when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that right after Ruth was born? Because my mother died when, her mother died when Ruth was born, right after Ruth was born. My mother died right after, what's it called?
Dorothy?
Dorothy.
Mm. So you worked on a streetcar for a year and then you went to New York?
Yeah. I went to New York in 1926.
Did you ever go to New York City in the 20s or?
Mm.
Did you ever go to New York City just for visiting or anything during the 20s or? Did you ever see New York City in the 20s?
Not in the 20s.
Oh. You ever been to New York City?
Let's see. No, not that. I was never there until 1940.
You visited?
About 44, 43, 44, somewhere out of here.
You went to New York City?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in New York there.
Oh, so you had a convention there?
Yeah, sort of a convention. Our own popular group had a meeting there, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do in Albany? Were you in the optical work again, or?
In the optical work, yeah.
Oh.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it in Albany?
I didn't like the job.
Oh, I see.
That's why I went back to Pittsburgh.
So you went back to Pittsburgh and still couldn't get work there?
Oh, sure. I went back there, but I wasn't... I figured that by that time maybe I could get work.
Yeah, they still were mad at you.
Yeah.
So then you came to Detroit.
When did I come to Detroit?
1928. Yeah. What made you choose Detroit?
Well, an ad in the optical journal.
For they needed an optician in Detroit.
They needed a optical man, a surface grinder.
Uh huh.
They could lay out stuff like that.
Uh huh.
He had to be a first class man. See, so I was there for it. Mom was carrying much home then. See, John. And then when he was born in there, right after she came there, he was born. But I didn't stay very long after that. I came back.
Uh-huh.
I didn't just
it just didn't care for me. With the guy that was running the company and all that.
Yeah.
It's just one of them things I couldn't make myself up there.
Did you ever see Babe Ruth play baseball?
Huh?
Did you ever see Babe Ruth play baseball at a game? Remember?
Babe Ruth play baseball?
Yeah, like he was on the New York Yankees in the 20s.
No.
You never saw him?
I wouldn't have seen...
Because you would have had to go to New York City.
I wouldn't have seen him because I was... We had a national team down there. We didn't have an interview. We didn't have a...
Oh, you didn't have a team that... Yeah.
See? I used to see Pittsburgh play all the time. But, one of the fellows...
I see.
One of the fellows that I loved with, his buddy was one of the operators of the... you know, took the games and put it over the air.
Yeah. So who were the great Pittsburgh players in those days?
Oh.
Who were the great Pittsburgh players in those days?
Oh, God.
They had a good team in the 20s, didn't they?
I don't know.
They had a pretty good team, though, back in
those days. Hans Wagner was one of them.
I've heard of him. Let's see.
His real name was John. Wagner, you know, that's what the fellow that I worked with in Pittsburgh, he called me Hans all the time.
So, you didn't know anybody in Detroit when you moved here then, huh?
Oh, no. I didn't know a soul then.
1928. So my mother was 8 years old when you moved here. That's why she still knew the Millers. Or did...
Yeah.
Were you friends with the Millers in Pittsburgh? My mother, you know how we used to always visit Bob Miller there? Did you know them, or did she just hang around with...
Millers?
Yeah. Must have been Peg Miller, I think, was my mother's friend, Peg. We used to visit her. Yeah. In Pittsburgh. I thought maybe you knew them, but we used to always go visit these people named Millers in Pittsburgh. Peg Miller and Bob Miller.
Oh, that's a girl. That girl was...
my mother's friend.
Was a daughter of the grandmother's friend.
Oh.
And I didn't know what their last name was because of that school.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, Peggy.
Yeah, Peg.
Yeah. Peggy was the daughter of the people we knew in the girl that was her mother, Peggy's mother, was a next-door neighbor at one time of your mother.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, not your mother, but I mean your
grandmother?
Your mother's mother.
Yeah. Was the steel industry real big in Pittsburgh back in the 20s?
Huh?
Was the steel industry pretty big back in the 20s in Pittsburgh already? You know how they got U.S. Steel and all that in Pittsburgh? Now? The steel industry?
Oh, the steel industry was the big thing in that town.
Yeah.
U.S. Steel really run the town.
I see. They controlled the city council and all that, or the politics there?
They controlled practically everything.
Yeah.
Coal and everything else.
Because they were, I guess that was before they got busted for antitrust. So they had pretty much a monopoly on the coal, or the steel industry at that point, U.S. Steel.
Yeah, well, there was a place in Homestead. It wasn't right in Homestead. It was in a little suburb of Homestead, Pennsylvania. They had a big steel mill there.
Mm-hmm.
And them fellas all went out on strike. And they just were left out, you know what I mean?
They locked them out.
Locked them out.
Yeah.
And then, I know my dad used to take them, this was in the time when Dad was living yet. Dad used to take, they used to take supplies up there with their horse and wagons to these people that were out on the strike. Fact is, I had an uncle up there. Munhall was the name of the place where they lived.
Uh-huh. And
my uncle there, his name was Martin. He was in there, and he was light bulb for all that there at length of time. I don't know just how long I was anymore, because I was a kid then, and I didn't pay that much attention to it. But I know they had a real honest tough time up there.
Yeah. That, Uncle of yours, he was involved in the union with the steel industry then.
Huh?
Your uncle was involved in the union with the steel industry, and he got blackballed.
Yeah, he was probably a membership to the union.
Yeah, he went on a strike.
Yeah.
Now your dad was a member of a union there where he worked too.
He was a member of the union.